Welcome to this podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. For more information about us, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.
We are doing a panel tonight, so up on the screen you can see a number. If you want to text in at any time, if you have any questions, you can text this number and we will hopefully maybe get to your question. If anything that they say you want more on or it triggers you, anything at all, hopefully on the topic of generosity, but whatever you want, you may text through. So if I can get our three panelists tonight to come up, we have Jared Garth, Josh Thomas and Rachel Beattie. If you give them a hand for me. Start with the far left. First of all, that's you. Do you think that generosity is important for everyone? Is it important for everyone or just for some?
I think it's important for everyone. I think God would have a wonderful, fulfilling, wide, great life for us all. And to experience all that, He wants us to live how he lives, which includes being generous. So it's part of enjoying all that God has for us.
Yep. It's a good part of our design.
Yeah.
Josh, why are some humans more generous than others, do you think? Do you reckon there's a reason for that? Or
I think to start with, generosity is actually inherent in human spirit by God. Whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, generosity, the act of generosity is actually built in by God in humans. It's the same as every human being at one stage in life go through a stage where you find the emptiness or they ask themselves the question, why do I exist? What's the purpose of this life? You know, all these things seems empty. And whether what they do at that stage, whether they pursue with that thought, is what matters. So everyone has the inbuilt generosity, spirit of generosity in them. So it is the love of Christ, or when they redefined the act of generosity, that's when the intensity of it increases. Mm. When you actually really understand what Christ has done for them, mm-hmm. it should transform, because the word says, you know, do not be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed mm-hmm. by the renewing of the spirit. Yeah. So when Jesus actually touches you, it has to change. Mm-hmm. It should change, and your generosity increases, and you actually get more closer to God and mm-hmm. be like Jesus. So
That's good. Rach, if you weren't a Christian or you aren't a Christian, for those who aren't here tonight, do you think you can still be generous?
Yes, definitely. I think just in general everyday activities or work, you can always be generous. Like even if it's for some people just helping their mum do a bit of house cleaning or something, that's still being generous.
Yeah. Would you say that Jesus helps you be generous personally, or do you find you can just be generous without a faith, or do you feel like your faith makes you more generous at all? Or
for some people, would assume that faith does make you a lot more generous than, say, someone without God. But for me personally, yes, it has helped. Just because without love or God's love, it's hard to be generous.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. True. What do you think, Jed, stops us being generous? Because I know for myself in my life, if someone said to me, really look at your life and tell me, are you generous? I could have lots of different answers to that, and I would maybe feel very ungenerous sometimes. What do you think stops us being generous?
What stops us? I think like Rachel and Josh were saying, something has to fuel our generosity. even before we come to know the Lord, often we are generous, maybe because we just, maybe our background, we've seen things that are tough and we've got a generous heart because of others' needs. We're fueled by a sense of justice, or we make a choice that way. We become more giving. Definitely when because of the love of God in our heart, we're fueled by something even bigger, and we want to be like Him. So He's come into our life. So when the more closer we are to Him, the more it flows out. I think what stops me is unbelief would be the big thing, because I think we can think it's actually trusting that if God's inspiring me to be generous and to obey Him, that I can trust Him, that I don't have to worry about myself. So I think when we're looking after ourselves or protecting what's our own or keeping something, holding it tight, we're not generous, and I think that's a lack of trust in God. So unbelief's probably not trusting God.
Is there anything else, Josh, we say, you've said that Christians, Jesus makes us generous, or the experience of Him personally makes us generous, but I can look at Christians who are the opposite of generous. What would you say to people who would say, I don't think Christians, my experience of Christians is that they aren't generous? Do you think there's other things that stop us being generous?
Like Uncle Jared said, you know, lack of belief. Then there's the love of money. You know, the Bible says, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil, it's the love of money. You know, people can say, well, I'm not materialistic. But if they're not giving, they're obviously materialistic. And the other thing is not realizing that this is not home. You know, the Bible says, you know, the land is mine and you are but aliens and my tenants. So it is a very short period of time here. And when we actually get closer to God, the more we realize this is not home. Eternity is where it belongs. So investing in here, holding on to the wealth, becomes pointless. And we get in that trap of get. Unfortunately. You know, how everybody in my street's got a swimming pool, so I got to get one too. You know, that sort of the society pressure. You know.
We swim in it so we don't realize it.
Absolutely.
If we step back, we can...
So, and not really trusting God. If Jesus was to physically appear in front of you and said, you know, sell everything you got and follow me, you would, because you saw His majesty... You saw His power right in front of you. What's stopping us right now? The Holy Spirit is here with us. So it is the lack of faith that He can actually be with you when you actually be generous. And He can actually look after you.
Trust Him.
Trust Him.
Yeah. That's good. Right. One person says, I want to be generous, but the desire to look after myself is stronger. Any practical ways that we can learn to be generous if it doesn't naturally come to me?
Probably by starting it as a routine, because then with especially generosity, it'll become something that you love. At least that's what I've found. Not that I've ever had issues of being generous, I guess. But if they're more concerned about themselves, then... if you just start doing the little things, or like if someone asks you to help out and you just go, okay, I don't really want to, but I will do it, it'll eventually get into a habit, but then will grow into something that you enjoy doing.
See, if you believe it's true, just do it, and then you'll actually move into it a bit more.
And then you'll become generous.
Yeah, it's good.
That's my opinion.
Either one, has anything really helped you become generous or learn generosity?
Learn generosity. I like what Rach said about it's like an adventure with God, isn't it? You exercise your faith and belief in his word, and you be generous and you prove him to be true, and you enjoy the blessing of being generous, because there's a blessing in that.
Yeah.
So is that what you're asking, Chris? If
what helps you be generous?
Helps me. I think realizing that Jesus has been generous with us, that's a big help. Knowing that revelation, it's a bit like grace. We love him because he first loved us. And being generous comes out of knowing he's been generous with us. And it can be like an adventure. Suddenly you think, oh, I'm not sure about this. Maybe I need to look after me. But you start to do a few things. You marry someone who's very adventurous in that area. And you're suddenly on a bit of thin ice. And, you know, in time you realise this is fun.
Yeah.
This brings joy.
God wasn't lying.
Yeah, God was right about this. It's more blessed to give than receive. And, you can get great joy out of it.
Yeah.
And it's part of enjoying the Christian life, which is meant to be abundant life, full, isn't it? So...
We've got one, Josh, that says, can generosity ever become outdated? Is it always relevant?
Of course.
Of course?
Of course.
There we go. No, that's good.
You want me to say more?
If I've got another one. If I don't want to give, should I still give? Is it okay to give out of guilt? Would you say just do it? Or
My opinion is don't give, because... You know, the word says, you know, each man should give what his heart prompts them to. And, you know, without reluctance, without pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if that's not there, if you're under pressure to give, what if the pressure is taken away? You would stop. I reckon you should hold on to your money and take it to your grave. if you are driven by, you know... I don't see the point of it.
Yeah.
If you're not driven by the love of Christ, maybe enjoy the wealth here and maybe miss out.
There we go. That's true. If you don't think it's better to be generous, give it a go. And I guess experience does tell us we can learn. Rach, if I don't have much money to give, say financially, like money wise, or I'm unemployed at the moment, things get tight, should I still give then, or are there other options? What do you think?
Well, if you've been called to give, then yes. So we've just been through a situation like that where money was tight, and so you couldn't give, you couldn't give as much money as you would want, but in saying that, we still gave of our time and gave of what you have, like just as a person. So, obviously if you've got the calling to give and then everything gets a bit tight money-wise, actions speak louder than words.
That's good. If I'm worried that if I help someone, whether with money, whether with time, whether with energy or love, if I'm worried that they might abuse that and use what I give them for bad things or things that I don't agree with, should I still be generous, or do I? I know that's a big question there, but can you sum it up to give us a bit of a?
I think God wants us to be generous, but he wants us to have a brain, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we should hide behind, I shouldn't give to this because maybe they don't deserve it, because nobody deserves anything.
Yeah.
It's all mercy, so we need to be generous and merciful, but I think we need to be wise, and I think we need to engage with God. It needs to be something that's not mechanical.
We should
pray about our giving. Mm. We should purpose what we do.
It's not just like a tick the box thing.
It's not a tick the box. It's not something you... It's something... It can be an adventure, and there can be some need that can come to you. It's like, I think Gwen shared it the other week in her message. Your head can be saying, this is definitely not the right person to give to, but God might be doing something special.
Yeah.
And if we're listening to his voice and he says, I want you to do this, That's faith. And we step out, we give. So I guess it's being truthful to your own heart. You know, God, what are you saying here? And if you get it wrong a few times, what does it matter?
Yeah.
You actually gave in faith and you gave out of a generous heart. Yeah. So God bless.
Better
God
than
bless
dying it. With yeah, it, that's Josh right. said.
Yeah.
I'll ask you one more while you're on a roll there. Someone said, how can we give to someone who's really in need and then not get... Let's say that there's 100 people who are in need and you only have the means and the resources to help one person. How do you help that one person without feeling guilty about not helping the other 99? How do you not get overwhelmed with the need? Because there is a lot of need.
There's need everywhere, isn't there? And you could get compassion fatigue or whatever people call it. Mm. And I can remember before I came to the Lord, a girl that I knew became a Christian. She went to a third world place and was really, real, real extreme need. And she got to the point in the end she couldn't cope and threw all her money up in the air. And I mean, we can feel like that.
Yeah.
And but... if there's a, we can only do what God's asked us to do. I don't think we should feel guilt. There'll always be the poor. There'll always be need. Mm. We give where we can. We do our best. And
don't take the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Yeah, we can't take all the burden of that because it'll always be there.
Anything to add to that one?
Yeah. I think that if you've only got the means to be generous to one person, then God's going to supply the other people to be generous to the rest of them, because obviously it's a need.
We all do that. That's good. Josh, have you ever found it hard to receive generosity? Someone's asking here, if we're the ones receiving generosity, is that ever hard? Or do you find it easy?
Someone who's being generous to
you.
You're saying is the pride issue?
Yeah. Or have you ever...
Because
sometimes if you go to give to someone, they can actually get insulted or it can... You know what I mean? It's not received well.
I have to admit that there are times where I actually felt like that, you know, not to ask for it or somebody, you know, offered something. It's just probably the pride that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But I, at the same time, I have to admit, the more I'm getting closer to God, you have to be wise about God's provision.
Yeah.
You know, if God's actually opening doors for you, let your pride not stop that.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
You can pray all day thinking, you know, hey, God, you know, you've got to open up doors. And he'd say, well, I opened up for you. You said no.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Don't let your pride get in the road.
Yeah, who am I anyway?
Yeah, that's good. Right. In Christian circles, people will tell you that what we give, and we've said it tonight, what we give is will give us more joy than what we get. Yeah? And the Bible says, to quote Scripture, there is one who scatters yet increases more. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Does this mean that when I give, I'll always get more back? Is it like an equation that the more I give, the richer I get? Or
no, I don't think that anyway. I think especially with, say, money, if you're giving money away, you might not necessarily get money back. Like that's might not be what God's giving you back. It might be... Yeah. I don't know, something else entirely.
Yeah.
I don't know what else.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So it's not a mathematical equation that
no.
The more I give, the more I get?
No.
Anything to add?
I agree. I mean, it says it's more blessed to give than receive, and there's a blessing, but what that blessing looks like can be very varied. It can be just the joy in your own heart, the satisfaction, all the... It can be a whole range of things. If you care for God's thing, you do what he asks you. He'll care for your thing. He'll always return back to us, but it's not a give to get. It's not a... I mean, it's... Yeah, that, I find that very offensive, really, to think, you know, I'm my relationship with God is so narrow and so small that I'm just giving so I can be financially enriched. I mean, that's you know, things like that can happen, but it shouldn't
not
be
the goal.
It shouldn't be our motive.
Yeah,
like you said, if you're giving because you want to be financially well off, it's you're in the wrong thinking, right? Then again, God challenges us in the Bible. He says to test me in this.
Yeah.
Okay, you give it to me and I will open the floodgates of heaven for you. But like Rachel said, it doesn't necessarily be money back. If you look at Paul's life, it says, I think it's in Timothy, where it says there are times he always lacked in materialistic things in his journey. Right?
Yeah.
He dedicated his life for Christ to test the world. But what he had is a deep relationship with God and a joyful spirit.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
I think it is much more precious than money.
Yeah.
So you got to ask yourself, if I don't financially gain by being generous, would I still do this?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
If you don't, I don't know, you have to think about generosity again.
I've even found myself, money, like you guys were saying, can suck me in, especially in the culture I live in, because we are a wealthy culture, and money can suck me in. But just by giving it, it takes the grip of money off my heart, and even that's a blessing in itself. Otherwise, I would be consumed by my own greed, pretty much. So just giving sort of releases me from that.
I mean, going back to that question again.
Yeah.
You know, with Paul's life, right?
Mm.
He had a deep relationship with Christ and a joyful spirit.
Mm.
Imagine he went and talked about Christ to somebody and their life changed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you feel the richest person?
Yeah, for sure.
Money couldn't buy that.
No, that's true.
So.
That is good. Money can't buy. We got one. Anyone can jump in here. Is sometimes forgiveness a way of being generous as well? Can we forgive generously? Is that... Sorry. I'm not sure if I've asked that question.
I was just saying, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to expand on that.
I'm not sure if I've asked that question rightly, so I'm sorry.
I think the Bible says you'll be made rich in every way, so you can be generous in every occasion. So it's not necessarily money all the time.
Yeah.
There could be occasions where money couldn't do something, but your forgiveness could.
Yeah, true.
That's
something's way deeper,
way deeper.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe what if you found a child, you know, he's lost his parents, 5-year-old kid. Mm. Money wouldn't do anything for that child.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say, oh, I'll finish my work and probably take that kid to the park, spend some time, give it a bit of love, you know?
Yeah.
My observation would be a generous... People that are generous are probably very forgiving as well.
Yeah.
There is a link there,
isn't
there?
Thing.
It's a thing of the heart. If people are generous, they're not going to withhold. It's really... I mean, if you're holding back to forgive, then that's like a withholding thing as well. It's like I'm not giving that to you. You know, it's still I think if you're generous, you're probably likely to be a forgiving. You're going to be generous with that as well. I think it's linked. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it okay, Rach, to be a rich Christian? I'm loaded. I've got
Definitely.
Stacks of money. Should is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because obviously God has blessed you in that way. So it is. I don't have a problem with rich Christians. Don't know if anyone else does, but I think it's totally okay.
Yeah.
And even then, they might find that they actually want to give more as well.
Yeah.
So.
Is it okay to be a rich Christian? Some people would look at rich Christians and say, "Well, that doesn't make sense." If you should, like, Jesus was apparently, like, the best Christian and he wasn't rich financially,
Well, I'm sure God wants to bless people and be generous, so he needs people that he can use for that. So
that's good.
Being rich is fine. It's really like Paul said, he says, command those that are rich that they be generous. And they, you know, the love of money doesn't grip their heart. And that's the issue. It's not about being rich. It's about what's got your heart.
Yeah.
And because riches actually open you up to a temptation more, that you're putting your trust in them and you're putting your confidence in riches, and it can get a grip of your heart. I think it can be another trap in life. So that's why Paul warns us, you know, you can fall into all sorts of temptations and snares. And so we just got to guard our hearts. So best way to guard your heart, if you're rich, Paul said, is be generous.
Be generous. So. That's good. I've got two or three more to finish us off tonight. First one is in about 20 or 30 seconds each one. What benefits have you seen in your life from being generous? Have you actually seen in your own life from being generous?
I just find that it's quite fulfilling. Like, you don't do it because you want to feel good about yourself. But when you do that, and you even if it is a sacrifice, sometimes it's not. But if you sacrifice a little bit of your time or money, it actually makes you feel very edified and, loved.
Yep. It's good for the heart.
And all sorts of things, yeah.
That's good. Anything else? So?
Yeah, of course, man. Every single thing in my life is actually God-given, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people are here way more generous than I am, but I don't want to, you know, blow my own trumpet here about what I do. I don't want to say anything about what I do, but I'm 100% sure it is God honouring me for what I did. My job here, you know, me getting to Australia even, it's God opening doors.
Yeah.
You know, me getting a job at the Royal Brisbane, an Indian guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I had Australian students ringing up and saying, mate, forward your resume. I want to have a look at your resume. I'm saying, mate, it's just God doing this for me.
Yeah.
It's good. All credit to him. It's me being honoured by God.
That's good.
So.
Yeah. What was the question again?
Here, I'll go to the...
Last.
Yeah, no. I've got two more. The last one is, I want you to leave me with one thought, about generosity.
Are you saying I talk too much?
No, just one thought. But before, I just want to read you something that someone wrote, and I just want to read it to you and ask you a question at the end. When my husband and I were first married and lived in a small apartment, I thought we could just buy a house and then I'd be satisfied. Several years later, we did get our house. Even though it was a modest three-bedroom house in need of decorating and repair, it felt so good to have space and to walk out the front door into a grassy yard rather than a dank hallway. Seemed like heaven on earth. For the privilege of owning a home, I could certainly live with the peeling paint, the yellow and green wallpaper, and an outdated kitchen, surely. Or could I? It didn't take long for me to realise that I wasn't that easily satisfied. Oh, I was fine as long as the first flush of the purchasing excitement lasted. Pretty soon, desire began to overtake me. If we could just replace the carpet, if we could just get rid of the avocado-coloured appliances, if we could just remodel the kitchen, then I'd be satisfied. Well, here it is, 10 years later, we've done all those things and more, and I'm starting to realise. Doesn't matter how much we buy, there's always plenty more that I want, and I'm very much a part of a never-enough world. Why is it never enough, when I was so sure it would be enough, and how do I escape the rat race?
Wow. Well, that's a big story.
I think we would all feel that at times in our life.
I mean, I can remember when Chris was just born and we were living in a small little unit, and I thought, this is heaven. This is heaven. And but it looks a lot smaller now than it used to look back then. And I can remember the first car I got when I came to the Lord. I'd driven a few bombs and I saved a bit of money after I came to the Lord and bought my first car. And I thought, this is so flash, but doesn't look so flash, you know, now. And I guess we can, you know, it's God does do more for us, and we can be aspirational and want. I think God wants to enlarge us and wants to bless us. That's all true. But it really comes down to what's got our heart. If it moves beyond just, you know, we need to be blessed so we can be a blessing,
yeah.
have a bigger house so we can do a bit more for God. But if it's just motivations, just like Josh was saying, keeping up with the Joneses, or we're just wanting more stuff, in the end, you know, it doesn't fulfill us, you know. If we are seeking more, we'll never have enough.
Yeah.
In that sense, if it's sort of just grabbing all the time. Yeah. But yeah, it's contentment with godliness is great gain, and it's a great place to be content where you are. And sure, if God blesses you, that's great, but be content.
Yeah. If you found anything to help you escape that and find contentment.
Probably just pressing into God, because he's going to fill the voids or your needs.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think as far as always wanting more, I definitely think that's just human nature. It's just sort of to keep up with everything. But yeah, just pressing into God.
Yeah, good. And he can fill the thing we're trying to get money or stuff to fill. Josh, do you have anything to add? Or?
Yeah, pretty much all what that's they good. Said. But good, you know, good.
I'll ask you my last question.
Yeah, okay.
If you could leave us with just one sentence on generosity.
I can't say it in one sentence.
That's all right, give me two.
Yeah, okay.
Just a thought. If you could leave everyone here
yep.
tonight with something you think super important,
sure.
this is going to be worth $1 million.
Sure.
And they can maybe pay you up.
You know, I had a dream the other night. I was sharing this with Ben the other day.
Don't tell me the whole dream, but...
In the dream, I had leukemia and I was in deathbed. And in the dream, I actually saw myself crying, and I was on the knees, on my knees, and I actually cried out, praising Jesus, you are my stand-up and my recovery. And I said to myself, if I'm going to die, it's fine, because I know where I'm going. It's a whacked-out dream. You know, nobody likes to see their own deathbed or whatnot. But maybe God was telling me that life here is so short. And and if God isn't generous to you, if God decides not to be generous to you or merciful towards you, you might not make it back to your house after this service. You know, it's really under God's grace. It's generosity poured out, limitless. Mm. So my, you know, the dream actually shook me up. I actually want to give my best to God.
Live a generous life.
You know what I mean? Like, who knows? It's
yeah.
He could pull the cord and you're done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So be generous to God. There's nothing to lose. Your gifts are not your loss.
Yeah.
I'm in that journey too. I'm not talking because I'm, you know, better
That's
than
good.
Any of us, any of you guys here. So.
That's good.
I'm glad I saw that dream, because maybe God's teaching me.
Yeah, this. Inspires.
And maybe
yeah.
it's storm.
Yeah.
who knows? So anyway, it's a great journey. There's nothing better than following Christ. Give it to God. He's the best.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Once well, you've got half a sentence now, so.
I'd say just do it. So be a generous and cheerful giver. And see what God will do for you.
Good.
I mean, it's not why you do it.
See what happens.
Yeah.
If you're unsure, just try it. See what happens.
I'd agree with Rach. And I was really enjoyed Josh's preaching a few weeks ago, where he brought up that verse about Malachi, where it said, "Test me and prove me, and that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." And Josh said, God... He brought out that verse that God said we should never test him.
Mm.
We shouldn't test the Lord our God. But then he said this is the one time God opens the door for us to test him. And I really liked that thought. Mm. And I thought, yeah, let's live a bit of an adventurous life. My one thought would be, yeah, test him. Give it a go. And exercise your faith and your trust in him, and have an adventure in giving.
That's good. Give these three a hand, please. Thank you.
You have been listening to a podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. We hope you have enjoyed it. For more information, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.